Now, notice the fifth one here. Neither, and that's verse 14, neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Now to me, this is the lowest thing that they did. This is the worst thing that they committed. This is where they reveal they're no more than an animal, and that it is the survival of the fittest, by the way. And it's the revelation of the bloody tooth. What is it? They became a traitor. They betrayed their brother. They stood at the crossroads. And when Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed Jerusalem, and we know that Israel began to scatter, and the Babylonians would chase them. And the Edomites, naturally living down in a country where people could hide, many of the Israelites went down there. And the Edomite says, he's right over yonder in that cave. Oh, did I see a group come by here of Israelites fleeing? Yes, they went right through that canyon there. And I think you'll find them holed up in that canyon. They betrayed their brother. May I say to you, this is the lowest that they came to. This is the case of dog eat dog. And this is something that a businessman right here in Los Angeles said this to me. He says, business today is dog eat dog. We've come to that. Living without God today, proud, and want to make a name for ourselves, want to make money, want to be a success. What's back of that? Pride. What is pride? That's that attitude of the life to live without God. And it leads men to betray their man. How many men in business today will betray another man in order to get his job? How many will pretend to be a friend when at the time he's an enemy? How many in government today, and believe me, we've had enough of that, that will betray? And I want to tell you that it's sickening when we look at our society today. And friends, I hate to say it, but it's in the church. I happen to know this. I was a pastor for over 40 years, and I know this. And during most of my pastorate, I had a staff. And during over half of that period, I had a large staff. And during that period, I had some very wonderful men, faithful men, men I could depend on, men I could rest on. But I learned this. I learned it to my sorrow, and it took me a long time to learn it, that when I had a member of the staff who was a proud young man, he would bear watching, because a proud young man that's trying to get on in the world, he's willing to go up the ladder of success even if he has to step on the fingers of those that are below him. And I've seen that happen on several occasions. You remember Shakespeare put it like this. Shakespeare had Julius Caesar say it. I don't think Julius Caesar ever thought of it. He may have, but Shakespeare thought of it. He has Julius Caesar say, I don't like this man. He is lean and hungry looking. And he says, I want men that are fat around me. Well, I don't think he's talking so much about being fat physically or being skinny physically. I think he's talking about that lean, hungry look of the proud man who wants to get on in the world. Now, this is not honest ambition. This is an ambition of a godless man living without God, not depending on God. And he's going to do it by himself. And in doing it by himself, he's willing to use any method, because the end justifies the means. That's the way that he's living. And I've seen that in my ministry. The head of the Church of England was speaking to the bishops many years ago, and he made this statement, and it has a double meaning. He says, every bishop has a crook on his staff. What he primarily was talking about, the staff of a shepherd. and that he is to use that crook in correction of the sheep. But he also had another meaning, that each one of these bishops had a staff, and he could be sure of one thing, that even the church, there'd be a crook in there somewhere. There would be a disloyal follower, one that would put a knife in your back. And I found that true. I found out that even among young ministers, that every now and then I'd get one, and he'd be willing, in order that he might advance, he'd be willing to even put a knife in my back. And though you'd brought him in and tried to help him, he'd be willing to put a knife in your back. Do you see now why God says he hates pride? It leads men really to act like animals. The horrible truth is that when a man attempts to live without God, he's lower than the animals. Therefore, Obadiah is God's devastating answer to evolution. What consummate conceit of a man who is living apart from God to think that he's evolved from an animal when he's living like an animal? And there are multiplied numbers of people who live like animals in our day. They go around with the conceited boast, I have come from an animal. I'm evolved. And look at me today. God says, in effect, where have you been? Where really do you think you've come from? I created you in my image, and you fell. You fell so low that you're below the animal world. May I say, God says, I hate that. And I don't apologize for God, because he never asked me to apologize for him at all. Now, if you want to see the final issue of Edom and Israel, you'll have to come to the time of Christ. And you remember Herod? Herod was what? An Edomite. He was in the line of Esau. And you remember that they brought the Lord Jesus word one day, said, Herod's looking for you to kill you. He said, go tell that fox. Fox? Yes, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be finished. May I say to you, the Lord Jesus said, I have nothing to do with him. And when he was finally brought before him, he wouldn't even open his mouth before Herod. And there they stand, Jesus and Herod, the final issue of Jacob and Esau. Why didn't our Lord speak to him? Because our Lord doesn't speak fox language. He doesn't talk like an animal. And therefore, you have the final issue today. This is the reason that God hates that thing that leads men away from God.